And chapter 5, peace is a choice. So, now that's not all that chapter 5 is about. This is what God wants us to focus on tonight. Chapter 5 is a pivotal chapter. It's the point at which Paul has laid down some doom and gloom with that wrath and judgment. And then in verses 1 and 2, if you could put those up for us, God, verse 1 and 2. There we go. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And that's the focus. But before we go any further, we're going to listen to Peter reading the whole chapter to us. Thank you, Peter. So the NIV splits the chapter into two sections. The first one, and this is why I said it was a pivotal chapter, the first one kind of rounds off what Paul's been talking about in the first four chapters, and then the second half leads into what he's about to carry on with in chapters 6 and 7. And I won't expand on the second part because it is in the next few chapters, exactly. Otherwise, that leaves nothing for Louise to talk about next week, which is why. And also because I've actually already preached on it. Because when we were looking at the names of God earlier this year, I spoke about God is our righteousness and how the many benefited from the action of one man. Well, here Paul is pointing out that the many had first suffered from the action of one man, Adam. But how much more would the many benefit from the righteousness brought about by Christ in his death? So if you're interested in hearing that again, it was on the 5th of March. And we'll be hearing more about that in the next few chapters of Romans. So back to the beginning of chapter 5. It starts with a therefore. And the pastor of my first church in Barnsley, he'd always used to say, if you see a therefore, you have to wonder what it's there for. Which is why I have to just take a little look back at what's gone before. Last week, Dan was talking about justification. And that's what Paul starts with. He says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, which is what chapter 4 is about, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I just want to briefly go back to that covenant of circumcision before we move on. The word covenant means agreement. And it usually means an agreement with terms that need to be upheld on both sides, conditions. In this case, the agreement was between God and Abraham and his descendants. And we see this in Genesis chapter 17, which we're going to have a little look at now. So this is just stepping back a little bit about last week with Abraham. So here we go. Abraham fell down and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. And then God said to Abraham, as for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you. The covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. So, this covenant agreement, God promises to make Abraham a father of many nations and give them a place to live. And they have to circumcise all the males in order to uphold their part of the covenant agreement. And if this is broken, then the agreement's broken. Now, Paul, in Romans chapter 4, verses 11 to 12, refers to this as such. It should be there. There we go. Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God. No, that's 5. I've put the wrong ones in, Gordon. It's chapter 4. Let's find it. Chapter 4 says that Abraham received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So then he is the father of all who believe but have not been circumcised, in order that righteousness might be credited to them. And he is also the father of the circumcised, who not only are circumcised but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. So just to be clear, God says, I will make you many people and you can live here. Abraham, you have to be circumcised. Because I believe that it's upon that basis that this covenant of peace is made with us through Jesus. Paul is writing to the Romans, he's not writing to Jewish people. So he's kind of, that's why he's been laying it all out before them in 1, 2, 3, 4. And it's this point that the Jews are at. By keeping their part of the covenant of circumcision, they get to inherit the land and live in it. But that circumcision covenant doesn't apply to the Romans because they're Gentiles, they're not Jews. I believe he's writing to them about this because it is that precursor to a covenant relationship of peace with God through Jesus. And it's based on faith, because he's not talking about the law at all. He's coming at them through Abraham and Abraham's faith and that covenant, so that he can relate Jesus Christ to the covenant of faith. The law comes afterwards as an explanation, but the basis of it is the basis of faith that Abraham had. So Paul is starting by talking to the Romans in terms that they can understand, because they know the Jews' story. And now he can speak to them of this new thing. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand. Okay, so he's sitting all this peace bit on top of this circumcision covenant. Does that make some sense? Am I making sense? Yes, thanks. Thumbs up from Dan. Great. So let's turn to the concept of peace. And it's at this point where I thought, that's really simple. And you know how when you can stand at the edge of a very still swimming pool and look at the deep end and it looks about this deep? As soon as you throw something in there and ripple that surface, you suddenly see the depth. And that's very much the process I've just been through and finished going through this afternoon. And I've kind of almost melted my own brain, so I really hope that I don't melt yours. The Greek word that Paul uses here is Irene, which is where the name Irene comes from. It means peace, harmony, tranquility, safety, welfare, health. And in the Greek concordance person, he says, there is an emphasis on lack of strife and of reconciliation in a relation, as when one has peace with God. So we have our peace with God through reconciliation that takes place at the cross. And so the cross becomes the symbol of the covenant of peace between man and God through Jesus Christ. So where Abraham had the symbol of circumcision. We have the symbol of the cross. I'm going to be brave and venture into the depths. In the Old Testament, God established his covenant of peace with the priests who were in the tribe of Levi. So if you look back in the Old Testament and through, when he talks about the covenant of peace, and he starts it in Numbers chapter 25, he's talking about the priests. His covenant of peace is with the priests, but they're the tribe of Levi. Now, Jesus is in the tribe of Judah, but he is referred to as our high priest. And so that the process by which God has transferred this covenant of peace with his priests to Jesus, that's where I'm just like, I'm sinking in the depth of it. Ezekiel says in chapter 34 and 37 that there is a prophecy that Israel will be brought back together and that David will rule over them. Now, Jesus is a descendant of David, so that's kind of part of bringing it all together. Isaiah chapter 9 prophesies about Jesus being the Prince of Peace. And Hebrews reminds us of the new covenant with Jesus being a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Now, he was the one that met Abraham. And he is the king of Salem. And Salem is the Hebrew for peace. And so you can see where all these links, and this is where the beauty of reading your Bible and knowing your Bible, you begin to see these threads leaping out where you can see that Ezekiel and in Numbers and in Hebrews, they're talking about the same thing about peace ruling through Jesus. And you can understand why it just gets so complicated. So I think I'll pause there. Back to Romans 5. We gain access to this peace by faith. And it takes us into the grace in which we now stand. And once we've accepted that and have stepped into that covenant of peace, we move on with God. We are back. We are reconciled to God and we are with God. And God gives us a place to live in heaven with him. Just as that original covenant gave his people a place to live on this earth. So our covenant of peace with him and reconciliation with God gives us the place to live eternally with him. Again, that other parallel. But there's more to it than that. Jesus himself said this in John 14, 27. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." And it's that word let. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Peace is a choice. We have the choice to let our heart be troubled or not. And it's really hard sometimes. When the world is coming at you, it's really hard. But it is that peace. Paul again says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, we can put this on the screen. "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So Jesus says, "My peace I leave with you, I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled." And Paul tells us that peace of God, which transcends all understanding, is the thing that guards your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And I made that leap because when I went for prayer last week, that was a verse given to me. But it was given to me through the words, "guard your heart." I knew then that I was going to be talking about peace, so I made that link. And whilst I could have taken it as a warning for my week, I actually took it as what God wanted to talk to us about, which is his peace. It transcends all understanding. I cannot stand here and explain it to you because it transcends all understanding. But what I can do, and if I can do, is, and I have the faith to do today because this is what God wants to do, I have the faith to stand here and pray for you. That if you, that is something that you need more of, or even you've not taken that very first step of reconciliation with God through Jesus. But I look, as I look round, I'm fairly certain that most of you have. There's more to it. And I have the faith to come and pray with you tonight. Now, I'll just show you the other picture. Gordon, do you want to put the other picture up? Because... put the other picture up. It's my brothers again. But one, my brother's with one of their mini-me's, as she's known. And as you can see, she's been helped. They're on the same sides again. Matthew's on the left, Jonathan's on the right. And this is Jonathan's daughter. Now, my main name is Hayes. This is important. Because my brother Jonathan, being even more loopy than me, decided that if he ever had a daughter, he really wanted to call her Misty Summer Hayes. Yeah. His wife, very sensibly, vetoed some of that. That is, in fact, a picture of Erin Summer Hayes. So he gets the summer. But Erin is a name, it's the Irish name for peace. Comes from the same Greek word, Irene. So she is Erin Summer Hayes. Goodness knows if he has any more what they'll end up being called, but so that's it really. It's the peace of God, and that's what God wants for you tonight. I can, and do you know what, actually, when we were looking at the names of God, I spoke on righteousness, Peter spoke on God is our peace, and I'll be honest, I can't remember. And that says to me, do you know what? I don't always remember what I hear in sermons. It says to me that I cannot rely on the teaching I get here on a Sunday night to be the only thing that feeds my spiritual life. I have to be reading the Bible for myself. And I'm sorry I can't remember all of what you said. But there you go. God is our peace and he is our righteousness. And it's all through Jesus. But when I can testify to feeling that peace of God when my mind, when I had a phone call that was really bad news, I felt completely peaceful inside because that peace guarded my heart. And the alongside that, of course, is the breastplate of righteousness that Paul talks about in Ephesians, again, to guard your heart. So here we have peace and righteousness together, and they are the things that guard your hearts. So that's it. Peace is a choice. If you want more, you can choose to come here to receive. If what the ministry team said to you reverberated with you, go to the back, see them. It transcends all understanding. I cannot tell you what it will look like for you. But I know that God is good and he loves you and wants the best for you. And that's it. So we're going to move to a time of response and prayer. If that's what you want, and if that's not what you want, and you want it desperately gasping, like I am, if you